7. Amen. We're going to read to you. And in Numbers 32, we're going to read some out of Numbers tonight. Amen. Psalm 7. Let's begin to read. I'm going to take my coat off. I've got a lot of work to do here in the next few minutes. You pray for me. Hallelujah. He made a pit, 7 and 15. Amen. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. He made a pit and he digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. Numbers 32 and 23 tonight. If you have your books, everybody's got their books. Amen. Numbers 32, 23. But if you will not do so, beloved, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I'm going to preach tonight on one thing you can be sure of. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing. You can be, I'm not much of a banquet speaker, I don't reckon. I'm not going to be the like one old fella get up, you know, and say, I ain't much of a preacher and stand up here for an hour proving it to you. everyone guy said, he started out preaching, he said, I don't know, you know. Some people will come up to you and say, I don't know, and then talk about 14, 15 minutes, and you know that they don't know. Amen. If they've told you everything that they don't know. But this may not be much of a text for a banquet, but it's what the Lord's given me tonight. Amen. I have took this meeting tonight serious. I have prayed about this meeting in depth. I sought God's will just for tonight. I tried to preach a meeting one time like this, and there's a scripture over there in Songs of Solomon. He hath put a banner of love and brought me to the banquet table. And we was having a banquet. Oh, I thought, boy, that'd just go with it. Man, you talking about a flop. Amen. I mean, that was a class one super duper nothing. Amen. But I quit that stuff. Amen. I'm going to preach to you tonight what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. One thing that you can be sure of. One thing. Amen. Sin is a bloodhound. I mean, it will track you down. When you sin, you cannot sin and get by with it. I want to tell everybody tonight, amen, we are not getting by with anything. That's right. None of us are going to get by with anything. You dig a pit, you're going to fall into the one you dig. It'll catch up with you. Proverbs 13:21 says, evil pursueth sinners. You can't get by. It is an impossibility. It's wrong. First place, it's wrong. You transgress against God. It is wrong. It's wrong to do that. God says sin will do you in. God said, be sure about it. Everybody here, want to tell you one thing. Everybody here tonight, be sure about one thing. Your sins will find you out. It cannot be any other way. God will put them in neon lights if he has to. If he has to. I love holiness preaching, don't you? Amen. I mean, I like it. We're talking about a preacher back home. We're preaching against TV. Hallelujah. You got one, Betty? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But we got preaching on TV to this preacher. And he was over here. He said, bless God, I don't believe in TV. I said, I don't believe in TV either. And some of the, was a living room full of people. Some of the kids got to talking about one of the movie stars. And I reckon they're movie stars or something. We got talking about it, and they mentioned one of the movie stars' name was pretty famous at the time. I forget who it was. But that little old preacher's little old boy said, Daddy, you know. You know, don't you? He's the one we seen last Friday night. Amen. Turn right around. Amen. I looked at that preacher. His little old boy said, you know, Daddy, we seen him last Friday night. Amen. Amen. I looked at him. Now, he had been peeking, sneaking, and peeking. Amen. Amen. And it come right out on him right in front of the pastor that he's preaching for. Ain't that right? That's the way it'll do it every time. You see, I just happen to believe that God arranged that to happen just like that. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Well, it's going to be good tonight, Savage. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get you after a while. You wait. Amen. A few months ago, me and Debbie decided to go on a diet. Some of you are not be laughing that hard. If you was up here, you wouldn't be laughing that hard. But I, you can see I failed, and Debbie passed. But I do all right on diets until about 9, 10, 11 o'clock every night. And we got three little old boys. This half my ministry is here tonight. I got three of the prettiest little old boys, Brother Horton, you ever seen. I mean, I love them. It's been a long time. It's been just evening since I seen them. Been a long time since I seen my little old pretty precious boys. But we had them in bed, and Sister Debbie went in bed, and all the lights was out in the house, and I was on that diet, and it was about 11 o'clock, and I was hungry. And I walked in the kitchen, and the lights was out in there, and there was some donuts over on the cabinet. Well, the kids, we buy them for the kids, you see. I peeked back around the corner, and Sister Debbie was in bed, and the kids was asleep, and it was 11 o'clock, and I was starving, and I went in that kitchen, and I just left the lights out, and I got me one of them big donuts, and I snuck down behind the counter, and I ate it all. I jumped back up from behind, just like a thief in my own house. I jumped back up from behind that counter, and I walked back down the hall, and I got in bed. And I'd been laying there a while. She said, boy, it's diet something. Yeah, it's a real diet. Real meat getter we're on here. And I laid there for a while, and she was reading. And we was about that far apart. And all of a sudden, I was laying there, and I went, burped. She looked over at me, and she said, what you been eating? She said, I smelled donut. So help me, if I didn't burp that donut back up. Ain't that just like it? The things that's done in darkness will be brought to the light. Amen. There you go. Well, I thought I had her covered up. Old David Miller. You ever had old David up here preaching? Old Big, you know Big David, don't you? Amen. I mean, he's a giant. David Horton. This is David Miller. He's a giant. I mean, he'll dwarf me. I like to run around with him if I could keep him around all the time. Everybody'd say, well, a little boy if I was around him. He's a giant. He must weigh 400 pounds. Brother L.L. Collins advertises him as a preacher with the world's largest liver. Amen. He's a giant. I mean, he's 400 pounds. Boom, boom. I never would have him preach for me because I was afraid he'd break my house down, my pulpit down, everything. But he's a giant. And he was home. And his mommy was real strict on him. And David went to smoking, sneaking and smoking. And one day when he got ready to go over the hill and he got ready to smoke some cigarettes, he went into the kitchen. He made him 6 onion sandwiches. And he got him 3 packs of Juicy Fruit, and he got him a pack of Rolaids. Now, why would he want Rolaids? And he got him 6 onion sandwiches, 3 packs of Juicy Fruit, and some Rolaids, and walked over the side of the hill. And he got down there in the brush, down there in the brush and over the South Hill, and he drawed him out a cigarette and he lit it up and he began to smoke that cigarette. Smoked all he wanted to. And after he got through smoking, he started eating. And he ate them onion sandwiches and onion sandwiches. You eat them, you know how they taste. And eat six onion sandwiches, and he chewed three packs of chewing gum, and then he started to swallow them Rolaids. And he walked back over the hill and walked back up to the house and walked in the kitchen and looked at his mom and said, "I ain't been smoking." Just looked at him. "I ain't been smoking." Amen. He told on himself. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That is funny, but I'm going to tell you something else about it. Amen. His first sin found him out. Yes. Amen. They will find you out too. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Debbie, one time when she was little, she took a cane here spell. Does any of your kids ever take a cane here spell? Huh? You think they cane here? Ralph and Debbie got to talking to Debbie. It's her sitting over on the end pew. She couldn't hear nothing they'd say. They'd tell her to do stuff. She'd just walk on her. She'd act like she couldn't hear. They'd tell her to do something else. She'd just walk on her. And they said, "Lord, she's losing her hearing. That's what's wrong with her. She's got some kind of a hearing disease. We're going to take her to the doctor. Take her to the hospital and find out what is wrong with her hearing." Everything we tell her to do, she just walks off and acts like she don't need. Has any of yours got the same symptoms? Amen. And they got together that night. And Ralph and Doris, they lived in a trailer then. They was laying in bed one night, later talking. And Deb was down the hall from them in her bedroom. And Ralph and Doris got to whispering in there. And the next morning at supper, breakfast table, old Deb come in there and started telling them everything that they had whispered in that bedroom at night. Amen. You know what they draw the conclusion? Her hearing was fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just like them kids we got, you know. They just act like they're dumb as they can be until you're talking about something you don't want them to hear. And they're in the living room and they come in and ask you questions about what you said. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You just might as well give up. Amen. You cannot do anything that God will not find out. I mean, God will draw it to the light. One time when I was a boy, Dad was against us playing ball. He didn't like for us to play ball. And every springtime, we had to plant a garden. And we didn't have level ground to plant it on. We had to root up the side of a mountain. And the side of one of them coal mountains. We had to grub it and plant it off. And all the other boys, after they get off the bus at evening school, they'd be running with their ball gloves and bouncing their balls down the highway. And we had to work in the garden. And one evening we had a big game, and I was wanting to play a ball, and Dad wouldn't let me. And I said, "What do I got to do?" He said, "You got to plant all it." He said, "If you plant me some peas and corn," he said, "you can go ahead." And I said, "Okay, get them here." And he brought in two big old 25-pound bags of corn and beans. Man. Fool, might I add. I looked at that corn and all that beans, and I got mad. And I chucked it out of his hand, and I said, "I'll show you." And I took that bean, that corn, and I tell you what, you didn't plant corn for Daddy anyway. He cut you off a 12-inch stick, and he marked it 6 inches up. And you rolled the stick over. You placed it on its side, put it up, jobbed the hole 3 inches deep. And then you turned it over and you jobbed another hole. And you laid it down, you turned it up. And that's why you playing Dad's corn bean for him. And I had two whole pokes full of it. And I went to planting that peas and that corn. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes a long time to plant it like he was wanting it planted. So I come down to the end of the one of the rows. And I took my hole and I dug me out a big old hole. And I just, all of it. Covered it back up, went back home and said, "Dad, I'm through." He said, "What?" I said, "I'm through." He said, he was so proud of me. I mean, Dad was so proud of his little shining farmer. He didn't know hardly what to do. So I went to play ball. And it went by a couple of weeks, and one night it come a good rain. And then the sun come back out. And then Dad went to go check on his garden. And I just got home from school, and he was up on the side of the hill, and he said, "Hey,
work. I said, what? He said, come here. I went out there. And I seen he was standing in the general direction where I had buried something a few weeks before. And I walked up on the side of the hill. And there she was. It looked like if there was 400 stalks of corn coming up in one place. I didn't have enough sense to know that it's going to come up if I planted it. I'm telling you, what is the truth? They don't do that now like they used to do it. I mean, they used to do it where you didn't get it too often because you could go for so long and remember the last thing you got. Amen. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. I had one old girl down at the church the other night. I was up telling them how to correct their children. And, you know, we have raised a generation that don't believe the whipping helps. And I said, just whip them real good. They'll understand that. Amen. Well, I've got hearing aids for my boys. They're 46 inches long. That helps them. And I tell them how to raise good kids. And one girl sitting on the front aisle, she was shaking her head no like that. I said, did you whip him? She said, yeah. And she said, he just as mean. I said, you never got through. Right. Amen. That's the problem. I tell you what, if you whip one and they get back up throwing temper tantrums and smirking their lips and showing, like one little old boy, his mom and daddy whipped him and set him over in the corner, and he looked back up and he said, I may be a sitting on the outside. He said, but I'm a standing on the inside. Amen. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You never got through. That's all. You whipped him, but you never got through whipping him. Amen. And I was telling her that, and my Lord, she started trying to correct her little old boy. Took a belt and gave him one little old lick. And him with them big old thick pampers on and a pair of pants, they can't hardly feel that in the first place. I'm going to tell you something. The sin of not raising your children right will catch up on you, but it may take it about 15 years to fully manifest. Amen. It took my corn 2 weeks, but it may take your kids 15 years before you see the mistake you have made. Amen. Hallelujah. Had an old boy in his, pardon me if you snuff. You know what snuff is, don't you? Ain't big as a chew, it's a snuff. I had an old boy in my church chewing snuff. Me up there praying to him every night to get the Holy Ghost. You sorry thing, you. I tell you what, you're so sorry and low down. Ooh, something needs to be done with you. You up here are wearing everybody out, praying to you to get the Holy Ghost, and you are smoking and a snuffing. You ain't going to get it. Amen. I was wearing myself out of sweating and a huffing and a puffing and him a snuffing. Yeah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. God help and God bless. Not defend the Holy Ghost. Like when old fella get filled, he'd come to church and he'd pray through and he'd go up pray for the Holy Ghost and he'd pray a couple of weeks and he'd go home backslide. He'd come back and get saved again, start praying for the Holy Ghost. Right, go back home and backslide. What, he done that 4, 5, 6 times and finally come up one night, started praying, and the pastor got down and said, Lord, don't fail him. He's a leaky vessel. Amen. You may have a leaky vessel tonight. I don't know. The old boy was a chip. I was a praying and sweating every night trying to get him through the Holy Ghost and him a snuffing. So one night, we got to take him home, go out of my way, drive 12 miles every night. We have a service at the church. I drive 12 miles out of my way back in the boondocks to get that boy to take him to church. He lives in a busted family. He stays with his mommy on the weekends and his daddy through the week. And he come one weekend. And on Monday morning, Deb got up to go to town. And she got up to go to town. She went there at the grocery store. And the boy took her groceries out and started putting back seat of the car. Everybody around that park knows I'm preaching. And he said, pardon me, ladies, is this yours? Picked up a can of snuff. Laying in the back seat. He thought he had it zipped up in his little satchel, but he never. Amen. Somehow it got out of there and fell in my back seat. I come home that evening from work, and Deb said, I want to show you something. I know when I seen it, I know who had been chewing snuff. It wasn't Debbie. I noticed my boys was too little. Make them sick anyway. It had to be him chewing that snuff. And I got to thinking about me a praying and walling around the altar with that thing and him a snuffing on me and me a puffing and him a snuffing. And we got together. And next evening, Brother Benny Sutherland was preaching us a meeting that week. And we drove up to his house to get him like always. And I was just thinking, how in the world was I going to do it? And he got in the car. I turned around and I just handed him out. I said, is that yours? He said, I believe it is. And he took it. And I could have blessed him out. I could have humiliated. I never said nothing. Just turned and gave it to him. Amen. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, when you turned and handed me that snuff box, he said, that knocked me right out of the snuff business. Amen. He'd been a snuffing and a hiding it. God brought it right out in front of everybody. Do you believe that God can do the same thing with your sins? Huh? I'm going to tell you something. You cannot hide anything from God. You start sinning. You start running around the church and covering your sins up. I'll tell you what, sometimes we run into services, we don't know what in the world is wrong. It just seemed like somebody committing adultery and us trying to pray and have meeting. And of course, everybody says it's a pastor, you know. Hey, man, that sorry thing ain't a praying. That's why the meetings ain't no good. Hey, man, if we only knew why we can't have meeting. I'd like to jerk old Aiken up and set him up in front of everybody and pray him through and get him to repent. Hey, man, and get right with God. Hey, man, so we could go on and have meeting, praise God. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, man, if God has to, he'll show the preacher. Let me show you something in the Bible. Naaman had come to Elisha to get healed. And he got ready to go when he got ready to pay the preacher. And he said, no, he said, thy gifts be unto thyself. Amen. He wouldn't take anything. He rode off a little ways and Gehazi got covetous in his heart. And he went after Naaman. And he said, Naaman, he said, two of the prophets of Samaria, two of the young prophets have come down. And he said, we need two changes of garments and a couple of talents of silver. And he said, all right. And Naaman turned around and gave it to him. And Gehazi went back to his home and he hid it. And then he went up to the man of God, Elisha. And he said, Elisha said, whence come thou? And he said, why, Lord, he said, I've not went anywhere whither. And I ain't done nothing. I ain't been nowhere. And Elisha looked at him and he said, when you went, he said, did not my heart go with thee when the young man turned and he gave you? I'm going to tell you something. Preachers, to be a good pastor, you got to play about half dumb. This little stoolie comes into church and preaches, and we marry you alive and bury you dead, and you toss us a crumb or two along the way. You don't know. Preach don't know much. What you think. I wouldn't surprise. I want you preachers, how many of you right now have been pastoring churches and seeking God, and God come to you in the middle of the night and give you a dream and showed you people in your churches sinning? Would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet that God's just come to you? Would you stand to your feet? Hey man, look at these men. Hey man, look at these men. I tell you what, boy. What time we find out more sleeping? Right. Woo! Hallelujah! We can do more sleeping, right. And a lot of preachers can preach on. Right. Amen. I had an uncle. It was a pretty bad drunkard. And come one morning, they found him out laying from his trailer with his head, about half his head blowed off. And they come to me with the news early one morning about 7 o'clock while I was still asleep. And they found him out laying out in the highway with his shot with a 20-gauge shotgun through the top of the head, blowed his brains out. And prosecutor, the Commonwealth's attorney, come down, and they looked at it from every angle they could, and they declared it was suicide. It didn't sit right with me. Somehow or another, it just didn't sit right with me. I just couldn't figure it out. That evening before that, he had got $6,000, $5,000 or $6,000 of black lung money. He had more money on him that evening before he was dead than any other time in his life, pure cash. Had it sent to him, had a check for $6,000. Was in good humor. I remember him coming down to Mom's house, and he was in just my fine spirits and everything, just like he always was. Had that money and was just having a good time. And went home that night, and along about 4 o'clock in the morning, his wife said she heard him on the telephone with somebody cussing. And a few minutes after that, all she said she remembered was the lights are blinking outside and the police are knocking on the door and him laying dead. Well, I got to studying. I got to thinking. He had a 20-gauge shotgun. And why in the world would a man kill himself and take an extra, take two bullets? He had he died with another 20-gauge 3-inch magnum in his shirt pocket. And I don't know if it's 3-inch magnum or not, I said that, but it's a 2 3/4 shell or something like that. And for the sake of truth and brevity, and he got to laying out there, and I just got to think about that. And they ruled it suicide, and wasn't any more investigation into it at all. And God got to deal with my heart. And the Lord showed me the man killed him. Showed me the man killed him. I prayed about it. Sought God about it. Never before and never since. But so help me, Lord, just a few weeks after he was found dead, the killer walked in my church one night and sat back there and faced me because I was preaching. And when he came, the Spirit of the Lord fell on me and said, "That's him." And you know what I preached on that night? I preached on, "And every hidden thing in darkness should be brought to the light." And he'll proclaim it from the rooftops. I'm going to tell you something. I feel strong tonight. There's somebody here who put something on the cover. I don't mean pour ice water on the meeting, but that's what I came here to teach. I'm not a prophet, neither am I the son of a prophet, but I'm telling you tonight, by the authority of the Lord, somebody is sweeping something under the carpet. Amen. That's what I come here to teach. Amen. You cannot do it! I beg you tonight, I beseech you by the mercies of God, brethren, that you render your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. I challenge you tonight to make it right with God. I'll tell you one thing, God will manifest it if it takes 100 years. God will bring it to light. Be sure of this one thing, your sins will find you out. I'm going to tell you something, every home for unwed mothers in the United States of America is a monument that some woman's sins has found her out. And God has manifested it before all the world that you're a sinner. Amen. What do you think? Can I talk to you just a second? What do you think that every penal institution in the state of Virginia tells us? Tells us, Brother Savage, that there's a lot of men sinned. And their sins has found them out. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. Men that's in alcoholic asylums, having the DTs, what does that tell us? Their sins has found them out. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You'll not hide it. You won't hide it. You ain't going to hide it. God will put it in the neon lights and put it in the sky. But you won't hide it. Your folly will stand manifest before everyone in the whole world. If God has to do it, He'll do it. Who really killed, just between me and you now, who really killed John Kennedy? In the bottom floor of that depository standing in the door, and that he died about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they had it hidden in the back pages of the paper. Oswald Lookalike dies. He was the one that was standing in the bottom of the depository. Did Jack Ruby shoot the right Oswald? Or did the other Oswald, the man that really killed Kennedy, just died the other day? I admit to you, I don't know. But we'll all know someday. Could I ask you another question? Did Adolf Hitler really commit suicide and was cremated? Why does the Zionist groups and organizations in Israel still hunt for him fervently today in South America, Argentina, and Bolivia, in those places? You know, it took them years and years and years to find Adolf Eichmann. They cannot prove that Hitler's dead. I was telling Ralph the other day, I said, if you want my personal opinion, I said, I believe he is dead. I said, but that's exactly what he would want me to believe, isn't it? Huh? We don't know. We will know. Every one of us here. Grandma, you'll know. Amen. Every one of us is going to know, Lindsay. Every one of us is going to know. Jack the Ripper. Have you ever heard of Jack the Ripper? Jack the Ripper killed 11 women in 3 years in England, London, England. He was a caper by night in the foggy London towns. He went in, most of the women were young prostitutes out on the streets. The surgeons of that time said that Jack the Ripper would embody them, cut them open, and displace their organs and lay them out neatly in a row, that they said that it would at least take them an hour and sometimes 3 hours to perform the delicate operations of those ladies' bodies that he done. He cut them open and slid them, and mind you, he stood them up, held them with one of his arms, and did it all with the other arm. They said, what in the world? He done 11 young women like that. They have never, to this day, they don't know who Jack the Ripper was. He was never caught. He spread terror throughout all of London at that time. No woman on the streets would say. There was only one clue that he left. Jack the Ripper cut one lady's body open, and from the blood out of her belly, they took it and sprinkled it on the ground. He took it and sprinkled it on the ground, and he wrote one sentence on a rock wall over there in London, England. And he said, the Jews are not to blame. That's all they're fed up. Criminal historians from Scotland Yard said this, the criminal historians of his age, they said, Jack the Ripper's secrets are buried forever. Just for a little while. Just for a little while. Just for a little while. Everybody in this building tonight is going to know who Jack the Ripper was. Now, can I tell you tonight something? If you don't make it right with God, not only Jack the Ripper's sins will be manifested before everybody, yours also. I'm going to tell you something about me. I'm serious as I can be. I'm serious about this meeting tonight as I could possibly be. I couldn't be any more serious about any meeting, preaching any meeting, anywhere, than I am about right now. This is the hour. This hour to do it. Amen. I might not ever have another church. That's the way I look at every meeting. Take this very serious tonight. Amen. If you don't get it right with God, Jack the Rippers, the Gacys, the lunatics of this age, not only with their sins going to be brought out, but everybody's. Because you can be sure of this one thing. Be sure of this one thing. Your sins will find you out. Amen. Your sins will find you out. I had an uncle a few weeks ago that smoked cigarettes. God help you. I'm not trying to de-Christianize you tonight, but God help you. Don't smoke. Don't start smoking. It's bad. I got an uncle who lives in Newport News. A couple of weeks ago, the doctors walked out of the laboratories and told him, said, you've got lung cancer. So we had no hope for him. It's gone too far. And the doctor, while he was at, he said, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what caused your lung cancer. He said, what? He said, smoking cigarettes. He gave his lungs up. My God, have you ever thought about a woman smoking? Women are the most precious things in the world. God, give it in your power from your human body to give life to other human beings. A precious woman taking that holy temple and vessel she's got and filling it full of smoke. Oh, God, what a desecration of the temple of God. Oh, God, what a desecration of the temple of God that is. But I'm going to tell you, it may take 18 years, it may take 15 years, and it may not take 5 minutes. Amen. It'll find you out. You'll have to hold your hand up and say, I've done it. You can't hide it. Oh, God. I've got more. I've preached too long. I've got more to preach. Preached too long. Amen. I want to tell you that. I'm honest with you. Get it right with God. Get it under the blood. Wash it away. Get God to cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Let him remove it as far as the east is from the west. Get it behind you. Get it somewhere where it can't be found. That's only in the blood of Jesus Christ. You try to hide it, though, and your sin's going to find you out. Brother Savage, could we have a song? Maybe people would like to stand and pray, could have an altar call or come around the altar and pray. Amen. Some of you children, get me some music. Amen. We'd like to have just a general little altar call here, 5:10. I don't believe we'd be asking too much. We've had a good time tonight. Amen. To find you out. It's serious stuff. Serious. Verses. Would you stand tonight? Oh, God, would you stand tonight? Oh, God. How many of you believe what I preach tonight? It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's God's holy truth. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us tonight. While we bow our heads, Father in heaven tonight, Lord, as I come to you. Oh, God. Oh, God, we appreciate the touch of the Lord tonight in the meeting. God, I'd ask you to deal with every heart. And Lord, just like at a communion service when we judge ourselves, God, let no one here tonight say, oh, he preached to somebody else. I know who he preached that to. Let's search our own souls tonight. And God, might I also say, according to thy holy word, did not your word say, oh, teacher, thou that teachest others, teachest not thyself? Let me stand in judgment tonight also, God. Oh, Father, according to thy holy word, we bow ourselves to it tonight. We ask the blessing upon this congregation of sweet people. God, I pray that your word touch their hearts and their lives. Rededicate us. Let us know what it's going to feel like to stand before the x-ray eyes of the judge of the whole earth, Jesus Christ. In his name, we ask and pray. If anybody feel like praying tonight, would you come? If you're here tonight, why don't you come? Do you want to stand? Do you want to stand in the last day and face a judgment of your own sins? God's going to bring them up in front of everybody in the world. Would you do it tonight? If you're here tonight, why don't you come? Do you feel like praying tonight? Does anybody feel like praying tonight? Let's come. Let's just have a word of prayer tonight around the altar. Would you, saints? I know it's late, but I feel like we ought to come and at least encourage. Maybe you know somebody here tonight that's not saved. Would you come tonight? Would you come? Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.